Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 2. There are 46 verses here, and we'll primarily go through the translation on it. And then, of course, we have the commentary. Excuse me. And then this is, we're also into part 5 of dealing with the Spirit. And when I say Spirit, this is our Spirit, the Spirit inside you. Of course, if you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God is mingled with your spirit, making you a God-man or a God-woman, providing you take the initiative to continue being a God-man or a woman. Tonight will be a chapter regarding the Spirit, and then tomorrow will be another part that will be regarding taking the initiative to let the Spirit to take the initiative to let the Spirit work in you. And because the Spirit is our power, but if we don't take the initiative to use that power, then there's nothing that the Lord can do. The Lord is the power, but we have to take the initiative to use that power. And some people just think that God does everything for us. Yes, he provides us with all the power. Just like I have a huge bulldozer sitting over here in our field that some man owns. And there's a lot of work for that bulldozer to do. But unless someone gets the initiative to sit down in that bulldozer and start making it go and start knowing and start moving that dirt out there, nothing will be done. So we have the power of God, but we need to do this. It'll be 6 tomorrow on initiative. Okay? But right now, let's all go up to the throne. We have a couple of letters here that we're going to be reading in just a minute. But let's all go first to the throne of the Lord to ask him to bless this tape, to bless everything that's said on this tape, everything that is done on this tape. Lord God, Lord, you're there, and we have to take the initiative to pray in order for us to be able to be heard. This is the way you've set the blueprint of life up, is that the power is here in your word. Your word is the Holy Spirit. And so we read the word, but we have to take the initiative to do what it says. And your word says to pray always. And so we have to, it has to be us to take the initiative to go before your throne and let you hear from us so that we can hear back from you so that you can move. Now, Lord, we see all the trials and tribulations, the sin, the filth, the corruption, and all the other things that are going on in this world today. And it's going to continue on and be worse and worse if we don't take the initiative to talk to you. To a person that prays to you all the time is the one that hears from you. And just like the King Saul, when a person, when he wasn't paying any attention to what you said, he just did the opposite of what you said, then there came a time in his life when he needed to hear from you. Because there was a big, fierce battle going on in the fields with the Philistines, and he couldn't hear from you. And because of the fact that he couldn't hear from you, he went to a soothsayer. And this even put other nails in his coffin, because this is a terrible thing for people to do, is to lose their place with you by not having enough initiative to walk in your word, which is the Holy Spirit, and to do what your word says. Your word says pray always and meditate always. And so if we do that, then when the time comes that you're going to rain down plagues upon this earth, you're going to provide a place for those that hear you to move aside so that you can bombard this earth with your plagues as you did Egypt. And the people of the Lord will be standing by just like they're watching a movie. When you watch a movie, it doesn't hurt you unless it's corrupt and filthy and degenerate. But when we stand aside, the people of Israel stood aside in the Egypt and watched you turn that country upside down, and not one hair on their head was harmed. And so, Lord, we take the initiative now to come before you to ask you to bless, to anoint this service. You say, Lord, that the ones with initiative, the righteous, in other words, that are taking the initiative to do what you say, take the throne of God by force and violence. We do not sit still, but it is our job to use the power that you give us to take the initiative to do exactly what your word says, so that we can have the power within us so that you'll honor us with your power to make things happen that you've already provided for us to happen. That is, if we take the initiative to do what you say. So, Lord, we're asking, we all agree that your word is true, and that your promises are true for those who take the initiative to do what you say and continue doing so to the end. Lord, so we know that because we've asked that you anoint this service, you're already anointing, Lord. We pray that, and we know it's going to happen because we've taken the initiative to pray to you, and also we go according to your word that says that we should ask. We must ask in the name of Jesus, and so therefore we know it's going to happen. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now where's the first letter from?
From Palakkal, India. Dear Brother Tony Alamo in Christ, hearty greetings of love and peace be to you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Brother, I am in receipt of your newsletters and also a check for $100. Please accept my gratitude and grateful thanks. I will utilize your love gift for my work and for providing daily bread to the poor and helpless orphan children. My gospel work is going on briskly and diligently, and it is expanding day by day. I have been striving my best to save a fair number of idolaters. I have also been arranging camps in the nearby and distant villages, accompanied by my co-workers, and have been carrying on brisk preaching work by visiting door to door, meeting each and every person, and distributing gospel tracts supplied by you freely. A fair number of persons are accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have been taking baptism. I have been supplying Bibles to all those who are taking baptism. Pray for them and their spiritual development. We are all praying for your welfare and every prosperity.
We can pray for their spiritual development, but unless they take the initiative to read the Word and do it themselves, because the power there and the development is there if we read it and do it. Amen?
Amen.
There's no development if that isn't done. Okay, that's why I just love tomorrow's message. The initiative. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. We have to take the initiative to go in and do tapes and to bring these messages. Otherwise, nothing's going to happen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But we can shake kingdoms if we do take the initiative to do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And remember, the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are the Holy Spirit, and they are life. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal life. Then what?
Pray for me and my work and my orphanage home by extending your help.
Okay, I don't want it to be your work. The Lord wants it to be His work. Amen?
Amen.
There's certain things here that show me that you need to hear some of our tapes. All right, what else?
May the Lord bless you abundantly to enable you to help us.
He certainly will. And you should have prayed to the Lord to keep the initiative going over there so that the Lord will maybe do something for you that you could... Bless us as well. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll get more than a fair amount of souls saved. Over there you get an abundance of them. The Lord says an abundance. Amen?
Amen.
Whenever the true net of the Lord is let down, there's an abundance of souls saved. Right?
Amen.
Okay, it's not your followers and your work. It's the work of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Remember that always. Take the initiative to remember that. Right?
Amen.
Okay, what else? We have to cooperate with the Lord. We have to take the initiative, but He's the bulldozer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And He's bigger and more powerful than all the bulldozers and all the other power in the whole universe. all power in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? The Word, the Spirit. Then what else?
I have the pleasure to inform you that 25 pastors and I have been meeting every second Tuesday of every month and have been discussing about the expansion of Tony Lamo Christian Ministry in India. Awaiting your prayerful reply and help, yours in his service, T.R., from Palakkal, India.
Praise the Lord. All right, and where's the next one from?
From Accra, Ghana.
Right.
Dear Pastor, peace and love be with you in the marvelous name of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. I hope my humble letter reaches your ministry. May it find you in the best of health and in our Lord's blessings. Please, sir, I quite appreciate the fact that this, my humble letter, is going to meet you as a big surprise because this is my first time of writing to your ministry. Please, I am a girl of 19 years of age who has sinned for about 2 good years, living a bad life such as stealing, prostitution, etc. But one day, as I was returning from my business with my friends, a certain man called me and gave me 2 pieces of literature. When I reached home, I opened it and found it was a Lamo newsletters. In fact, Pastor, immediately when I read the newsletter, I changed instantly. Praise God.
She had to take the initiative to change. She had to take the initiative to read it. Amen. And when
Amen.
There's something about the Word of God, the power started working with her. And so it would have never worked with her if she wouldn't have taken the initiative to read it. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Or to listen to the tapes. If you take the initiative, you're going to get the power. Because the power is behind you. If you just get into the dozer and start running it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Then what?
So, Pastor, I have now stopped what I was doing at first and am a fully committed Christian.
Good, yeah. It's no good to be a prostitute. Prostitutes go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, our thieves also. Then what else?
But, Pastor, one problem which worries me a lot is now my friends are still in doom, and I want them also to repent to be what I am now. So, Pastor, I am therefore pleading with you to send me 4 Holy Bibles and some of your literatures to distribute to them, and also 1 copy of the Messiah book for myself.
Oh, we get 1 for each one of your friends. Send them at least 6 Messiah books. And then hopefully and prayerfully, and if they take the initiative, they'll be out there evangelizing as well, and they'll be meeting hundreds of them, thousands of them. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
May the good Lord grant you his divine grace and mercy as you continue to expand the Word of God to sinners. Thank you. Hope to hear from you soon. Thank you in advance for not failing my request. Yours in Christ, G.S. from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Right. Grace and truth. That's that means power and truth. Because when you obey the truth, the power, or what they call grace, is there. Power and truth. With Jesus came power. The power, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit used to come down upon people outwardly. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit lives within us, inwardly. And this is where the power is. We have power that the Old Testament people did not have. From time to time, the Holy Spirit would come down outwardly upon the different prophets. And they would prophesy. And the Holy Spirit would tell them certain things to do, and they would do it. But now the Holy Spirit is within us and stays within us as long as we keep studying the Word and receiving the power of the Word. And that happens as we keep the Word, as we continue taking the initiative to do what the Bible says. All right? Okay, thank you, Michelle. And now, Sharon, you want to come forward here? Or before that, let's call Jeannie forward to read a phone room message that came in from Mr. Peeler. Now, Mr. Peeler, I did a piece of literature on him. He's a former FBI agent that got sick and tired of seeing the things that this subversive government is doing within our midst. This is supposed to be the United States government, but what it is the Roman canon government. They call it democracy. Now, if democracy is of the Lord, then why did not the Lord tell us to go into all the nations, every kindred and tongue, and preach democracy to them? He said for us to preach the gospel to every nation, every kindred, every country, to go throughout the world. And when that gospel has been preached all over the world, and by satellite now, and by these computers and everything that we have today, the gospel is everywhere. As a matter of fact, we're going internationally on the computer. We're on a 50,000-watt station emanating in Memphis, Tennessee, which hits Missouri and Alabama and Arkansas and all different areas around. But the same person that has this radio station in Memphis is also putting this on the Internet. And it runs, people will be able to hear me preaching these messages any time of the day or night. And all the messages stay on the Internet. If, there are like 450 messages on there, and they missed yesterday's message, they can go back. Or if they missed a message 3, 4, 5 months ago, they can go back to that message any time of the day or night. And what I'm doing also is I've instructed people to have these messages not only done in English, but to have them done in Chinese, in Japanese, into dialects in Africa, into every nation of the world, India, Philippines, French, Italian, German, Russian, every language, so that when they turn on the Internet and they want to hear one of my messages, all they have to do is press a certain page, and here I come. And then they say, well, here's a list of 250, 450 messages that Pastor Lamo has given. This one is pertaining to this subject. This one is pertaining to another subject. This is part one. This is part two, part three of dealing with the spirit. Or here's a bunch of that you missed dealing with the flesh. So you punch that in. And in China, they say, here it is available in Chinese. So they punch it, and they have it. Amen? So you talk about the gospel being sent throughout the world, the truth, the true gospel. This is it. You know, this is really a great start. Now, we were on television for 10 years ago, and after Susie died, I just didn't know whether the Lord wanted me to do it. I just thought maybe he does, but I didn't see any possible way to do it at the time. But now, the Lord has given me the initiative. He's given me the initiative to do it, and so I'm doing it. And you know, there's a lot of people that are offended with the gospel, and they're taking the gospel out of schools and everything. What I say is that, you know, I'm offended at the people that want to do that. And if they don't like the gospel, we're not to be concerned about whether they like it or not. We're just supposed to not give any place to them whatsoever. To hell with anyone that doesn't like the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
Because why do I say to hell with them? Because God says to hell with them. Amen?
Amen?
He says, repent, believe the gospel, or go to hell. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm not going to be concerned about anybody's position against the gospel, or if they're offended at it. So what? Who are they but devils anyway? Amen?
Amen.
Override them. Give no place to the devil, but resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen?
Amen?
And this is the attitude everybody has to have. And we have to take the initiative to have that attitude. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's read Mr. Peeler. Now, Mr. Peeler was a federal government agent, and he read one of my pieces of literature entitled Another Pearl Harbor, and he said it gave him cold chills up and down his back, and up the back of his neck, and he says he confessed that he was one of the people that was involved with the Oklahoma destruction of the federal building there around 10 years ago. And they're going to have an anniversary, and there's a lot of people, including congressmen or senators or somebody, that's going to be there, and they were all inspired from reading my piece of literature. And here, Jeannie's going to read now the part of the conversation that went on the phone between one of the brothers at the church and Mr. Peeler. So go ahead, Jeannie.
Mr. Peeler said he was contacted by the people hosting the federal building Oklahoma City bombing, a day of truth 10 years later, reception, dinner, and speakers forum to be held in Oklahoma City on the 10th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing federal building.
Which is about the 18th or 19th of this month sometime, 2005. Okay? Okay, then what?
On April 19th.
19th, okay. Then what?
And Mr. Peeler was asked to speak there. The rally is being held to show support to the bombing victims' family members who want all the truth about the Oklahoma City bombing to be revealed and all responsible parties held accountable.
Not only was Mr. Peeler involved there, but they tried to get him involved with the Waco massacre. They said Mr. Peeler, who was an FBI undercover agent, said that they were asking him to go there to just not arrest the people there, David Koresh and his people, but to kill them. Not to give them to trial or anything, but they're Christians and they have to be killed. Why? This is a democratic country. Anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Word of God, anti-Bible. This is a democratic country. Well, we don't, if that's democracy, we don't need any democracy. Amen.
Amen.
And they're spreading this damnable doctrine that same-sex marriages and abortion and everything and making it a law and making people look evil if they're against it. This is democracy? No, this isn't democracy. This is anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti the Word of God. That's what it is. Okay, so go ahead now.
Mr. Peeler said that they tracked him down through a private investigator that told him that some of the people hosting the event had read your newsletter about Peeler, another Pearl Harbor, and other pieces of literature, and really liked them and wanted Mr. Peeler to speak at the event.
So this whole convention is caused because of our literature. So don't say that this literature isn't making its mark, not only with the Christians, or a lot of people call themselves Christians are not, they don't like it because they figure you're just supposed to let Satan take over the world. But the Lord tells us, give no place to Satan. Don't let him take over the world. Don't let him take over your life. Don't let him take over anything. The Lord has saved us to rule the world. When he restored us back to being a son of God, which Adam once was before his wife sinned, and both of them, he and his wife, are Adam. Well, then he gave power back to us. Adam and Eve lost their power. They gave it over to Satan, but now the Lord does not want us to give any place to the devil, because if we have the same attitude that these false Christians, false brethren are saying that we should have in these false prophets, we're going to wind up lost and in hell and in the lake of fire forever. So we have to take the initiative to be rulers. The Bible says to rule this world for him and to bring about the kingdom of God here on this earth. And don't think of yourself as being nothing or saying they talk bad and demean Christian, the true Christian, and exalt people like the people that they exalt on television. Namely, you know who. All right? And I've said enough about him that you should know who I'm talking about. Amen?
Amen.
If you think I'm afraid to say it, the Pope. Amen?
Amen.
Right. No, I'm not going to back down from Satan, because God is in Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan, and he is still, if he's in us, then we're more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
And a conqueror is enough, wouldn't it be? No, according to God, we're more than conquerors. Amen?
Amen.
So you shouldn't be, you dastn't dare be afraid, because if you are, then that's denying the Lord. You're saying, the Lord doesn't have enough power to kill the giants, like the people in the Old Testament when they were taken through the Red Sea and all the Egyptian army was drowned after them. And here they're afraid to go in as the Lord has commanded them. I'm with you, he says. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, I'm your power. Take the initiative now to do what I'm saying, and you can go right in there, and you don't have to wander around on the desert here for 40 years. But no, those giants, flesh, the Vatican, flesh, the media, flesh, the government, flesh, is too weak for us, you coward. You sniveling coward. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Amen? Mm-hmm. Doubt in your damn God can't stand people thinking that he's not powerful enough to bring them through every trial or tribulation or every battle. Hallelujah! Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then continue the letter.
The speaker's forum will be held on April 20th and will include U.S. Congressman Bob Barr, Benson Parton, retired USAF Brigadier General, Charles Key, former Oklahoma Representative and Chairman of the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, and many other law enforcement officers, journalists, and investigators.
Well, I hope it's not the law enforcement agents that I heard on my headphones when I was going up for parole in Fort Worth, when I was in prison there for the gospel's sake, because I could hear people getting on the air and saying, we saw federal government agencies going in and out of this building, and they got their children out of there because they knew the thing was going to blow up any minute. And we were threatened by federal government agents saying, if you say these things, we're going to come and kill you. So you're talking about the treachery of the Vatican. This is not, these kind of tactics are not used by Americans. How can Americans be patriotic to the Vatican? This is the United States of America, and our law is based on the Word of God. And if people don't like it, then get out. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't care if you're offended at the Word of God. I know that you devils are offended at the Word of God. And that's too bad. We're offended at you, too. So don't try to offend me anymore by saying that you're offended at the Word of God, because I'll pray to God that he does something with you. And I pray that you will accept the gospel. But if you don't, I pray God will heap coals of fire on you. The greatest love that I could have for you is to pray that God will pour out his Spirit unto you and open up your understanding so that you'll receive him. Because if you don't, you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. But if you don't, he'll also make it rough here on this earth for you. He'll send one of the plagues on you just like he did Egypt, and there'll be nothing that you can do. And I'll be standing on the sideline with a bunch of others watching you just like I'm watching a movie while you're being destroyed. Okay, what else?
Mr. Peeler said that Pat Shannon, an investigative journalist that has written exposés about Sirhan Sirhan, the Kennedy assassinations, and other topics, will also be speaking at the event.
Right. This man was inspired by my literature also many years ago when I wrote an expose on Sirhan Sirhan. Sirhan Sirhan had a .22 caliber pistol. He was in front of the Bobby Kennedy. Not that I'm one of the fans of Bobby or Robert Kennedy, but he was standing there and he shot 6 bullets and they found them all in the walls. But the bullets that killed Robert Kennedy were bullets from his bodyguards. They were .38 caliber bullets, and they were in his back, the back of his head, back of his ear, and his heart from the back. And so Mariotti and Ted Chirac and Walter Winchell and a man that owned Steak and Stein on the Sunset Strip and many others came to me wanting me to do the promotion because they knew how what great potential we have and what power we had as far as getting the truth out and on literature. This literature is like newspapers, and we just scatter them by the hundreds of millions all over the world. And so Susie told me not to do it, but later on after she died, I did do it. I told about him, and I also was the first one to come out about the other Kennedy, President Kennedy, where it was 5 police officers from Houston, Texas that did the shooting on him, and it wasn't Oswald. That's why they killed Oswald before it could be found out. And then they hid all these the different facts, the proof of this, to where people can't find it. And one of the last things that the Pope requested, that they burn all of his notes and all of his letters and all of the literature that he had, secret stuff in his files. You know, if I was dying, I'd say, take all my files and get them out to the world. Huh? Why would a if this man was of God, why would he want to burn everything? You know why? Because he is the director of the federal government agents and the actual, all the evil things that are going on the face of the earth, and that's what the Bible says. That this cult, this wicked cult in Rome, which is empowered by Satan, is the mother of every abomination on the face of this earth. They ride on the back of the beast. In other words, the governments of the world, she rides, this cult rides on the back and tells the governments what to do. So if you see governments that are saying, anyone that comes over this abortion parlor and tries to get people from to stop from first-degree murder, we're going to put you in prison and put you in the gas chamber. Or if anyone tries to stop people from committing adultery or same-sex marriages, or if you won't allow your people to be married to same-sex marriages in your church, we'll take your tax-exempt status away from you. This is why this wicked, evil government took our tax-exempt status away from the Tony and Susan Lama Foundation and cooperated. It's because we don't allow same-sex marriages, we don't allow homosexuality, lesbianism. We forbid it because God forbids it, and we don't care if you are offended at that at all. We're trying to win these homosexuals and lesbians, but the government, Satan's government, the Vatican, is just condoning it and saying it's all right and that there shouldn't. And then we also, we refuse all other religions. The Bible tells us to be separate and holy. Now, you know, the devil, the Pope, is being lauded that he did so much for humanity. The Berlin Wall went up because of the orders of the Vatican. This was to make the Vatican look good, but he said it was communism that did it. So if I put up a wall in a country and say it's communism, then I go walking in and say, take that wall down. Well, of course, Satan looks good then. See, if I was Satan, I'd do the same thing. Or if I go and burn your house down or have some of my henchmen burn it down, then I say, those people were wrong, and so we've got to go in there and build that house back up. This is the way Satan deceives people. And that's the way everybody's saying, well, he walked into Berlin and took that wall down. It was, he was against this, and he's against this. All these things that he did, then he went in to make himself look good like a godly person, and he has it taken down and annihilated away with. Doesn't the Bible say that Satan is a deceiver?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, he's doing his job. Amen?
Amen.
I like to expose him and let people know that there's nothing to congratulate him for. But we have to resist him and give no place to him, no honor to him. The media is giving all this honor to people that do things like that. All right, let's get on to chapter 2, 1 Kings. So much for that. We have to do a little enlightening of what's going on around and about you right now, because you have to start knowing that you're living in the last days. A lot of people say, we'll never be here for the plagues. When are you going to wake up and know that you're in? Don't you see plagues all around you?
Yeah.
My goodness. My goodness gracious. Boy, when is the dawn going to hit? This is the beginning of sorrows of the plagues. You people who don't believe the Word of God are not going to be raptured out of this. You better get right with God so you can stand on the sidelines with us real Christians and watch. It'll be a better thing, more spectacular than the 4th of July fireworks. Amen?
Amen?
But we won't get touched by it at all, any more than the people of Israel were touched by the plagues when God turned the place upside down for them and destroyed Egypt. And its firstborn. Okay, so let's go ahead, Sharon.
1 Kings chapter 2. The last instructions David gave to his son Solomon. King James Version, verse 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man.
So, you have to take the initiative to be strong. You can't say, well, God, it's all the power. God will do it. No, he's the power. He's like the bulldozer, but you've got to get out. You've got to use that power. Take the initiative to do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
So why be strong? How can you be strong if you don't initiatively take the initiative to do it? Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then what?
Verse 3. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments.
Well, that takes initiative to do that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because, you know, there's all kinds of things come your way during the day, and you say, oh, this must be of the Lord. Here I am right in front of a whorehouse, and a whore came out to seduce me. Lord, you know, you could rescue from me from this as you're going into your pocket for the wallet to pull out the 10 spots so you can give it to the prostitute. This must be of the Lord. The Lord. Oh, the Lord, you ungodly wretch, you. Now listen, Lord, you're being tested every moment of your life. The Bible says, flee from that hag. Amen? Okay, what else?
And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself.
If you take the initiative to do everything the Lord says, you're going to prosper in everything that you do. Yes, everything that you're taking the initiative to do for the Lord, that the Lord says to do, not in anything that you do that you want to do, but what the, or what your opinion is to do, but everything that the Lord says to do. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what verse was that?
3.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 4. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth.
Yeah, if. Okay, that's a big, little word with a big meaning. If you do what? Take heed to do what?
To their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul.
Yeah, in other words, take the initiative. To the heart has to have the initiative. The soul has to have the initiative. And the body has to follow along. Amen?
Amen.
Then what will happen if we do that, Lord?
There shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel.
Okay.
Verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel.
And so what is the throne of Israel for? It's to rule. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord is in us, and he's sitting in us to rule, not to be mopped up by the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So, I mean, who are these people in government anyway but flesh? And flesh that have the spirit of Satan in them. And if you're afraid of Satan instead of the Lord, woe unto you. Amen?
Amen.
God is far more. I mean, Satan has no power at all. He doesn't, okay? When all power on heaven, in heaven and on earth belongs to the Lord, how could Satan have any power? Amen?
Amen.
But how could we have any power unless we do what the Lord says? Because he said, my power is yours if you do what I say. And my power is Jesus. He said, Jesus says, I am yours if you do whatsoever I say. I am your friend if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. Whoa. Amen?
Amen.
Don't you want Jesus to be your friend and to have it so you can have the power of God with you at all times? Well, then do it. Okay? Take the initiative to do it. Okay, then what?
And what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel.
Start from that verse again.
Okay. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether.
Right, he killed them. Then what else?
Whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet.
But the war was over, and so he decided to start killing people anyway. Okay, then what?
Verse 6. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace.
Yeah.
Translation, verse 1.
Yeah, and we'll just go through translation now.
Okay.
All the way through, because you're reading the King James Version, you people out there. And now you can just hear the translation right along and see, it may clear up some of the word that has been written in the Old English into your spirit, into your heart. So what else?
The last instructions David gave to his son Solomon. Translation, verse 1. As the time of David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. Verse 2. Quote, I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Verse 3. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep each of the laws, commands, regulations, and stipulations written in the law of Moses, so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go.
That goes for us as well. Then what else?
Verse 4. If you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me, quote, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel, unquote. Verse 5, quote, and there is something else. You know that Joab, son of Zeruiah, murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether. He pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with the blood of war. Verse 6, do with him what you think best, but don't let him die in peace.
Yeah, but you knew to do best. Use the wisdom. Understand what I'm saying to you. In other words, kill him. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. Be kind to the sons of Barzillai of Gilead. Make them permanent guests of the king, for they took care of me when I fled from your brother Absalom.
Now remember, this is Old Testament. The Lord does not allow you to kill, murder anyone, not even babies, or not even people that are sick in the hospital, or not even people that request that you help them die. Because that's considered planned murder. Planned murder is first-degree murder. You're not even allowed to kill yourself because you're the temple of God and you don't belong to yourself, and you can pray and have all the pain taken out of your life and all the sicknesses as well, because the Lord has already healed you if you agree with God that he's the truth and that you're a liar. Okay? Let every man be called a liar, but let God be called the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
Verse 8. And remember Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Behurim in Benjamin. He cursed me with a terrible curse as I was fleeing to Mahanaim. When he came down to meet me at the Jordan River, I swore by the Lord that I would not kill him. Verse 9. But that oath doesn't make him innocent. You are a wise man, and you will know how to arrange a bloody death for him. Verse 10. Then David died and was buried in the city of David. Verse 11. He had reigned over Israel for 40 years, 7 of them in Hebron and 33 in Jerusalem. Verse 12. Solomon succeeded him as king, replacing his father David, and he was finally established on the throne. How Solomon established his rule. Verse 13. One day Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith, came to see Bathsheba, Solomon's mother. Quote, have you come to make trouble? She asked him. Quote, no, unquote, he said. Quote, I come in peace. Verse 14, in fact, I have a favor to ask of you, unquote. Quote, what is it? She asked. Verse 15, he replied, quote, as you know, the kingdom was mine. Everyone expected me to be the next king. But the tables were turned and everything went to my brother instead. For that is the way the Lord wanted it. Verse 16. So now I have just one favor to ask of you. Please don't turn me down. Unquote. Quote, what is it? Unquote, she asked. Verse 17. He replied, quote, speak to King Solomon on my behalf, for I know he will do anything you request. Ask him to give me Abishag, the girl from Shunem, as my wife. Unquote. Verse 18. Quote, all right, Bathsheba replied. I will speak to the king for you. Unquote. Verse 19. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak on Adonijah's behalf. The king arose from his throne to meet her, and he bowed down before her. When he sat down on his throne again, he ordered that a throne be brought for his mother, and she sat at his right hand. Verse 20. Quote, I have one small request to make of you, she said. I hope you won't turn me down, unquote. Quote, what is it, my mother, he asked. You know I won't refuse you, unquote. Verse 21, quote, then let your brother Adonijah marry Abishag, the girl from Shunem, unquote.
She replied, won't refuse his mother, but he'll definitely refuse him. All right. Then what else?
Christian.
The mother, he knows, has got a problem in her head. And then what else? And in her spirit. What else?
Verse 22, quote, how can you possibly ask me to give Abishag to Adonijah? Unquote, Solomon demanded. Quote, you might as well be asking me to give him the kingdom, exclamation mark. You know that he is my older brother, and that he has Abiathar the priest, and Joab, son of Zeruiah, on his side, unquote. Verse 23, then King Solomon swore solemnly by the Lord, quote, may God strike me dead if Adonijah has not sealed his faith with this request. Verse 24, the Lord has confirmed me and placed me on the throne of my father David. He has established my dynasty as he promised. So as surely as the Lord lives, Adonijah will die this very day! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 25, so King Solomon ordered Benaiah the son of Jehoiada to execute him, and Adonijah was put to death. Verse 26, then the king said to Abiathar the priest, quote, go back to your home in Anathoth. You deserve to die, but I will not kill you now, because you carried the ark of the sovereign Lord for my father, and you suffered right along with him through all his troubles. Verse 27, so Solomon deposed Abiathar from his position as priest of the Lord, thereby fulfilling the decree the Lord had made at Shiloh concerning the descendants of Eli. Verse 28, although he had not followed Absalom earlier, Joab had also joined Adonijah's revolt. When Joab heard about Adonijah's death, he ran to the sacred tent of the Lord and caught hold of the horns of the altar. Verse 29, when news of this reached King Solomon, he sent Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, to execute him. Verse 30, Benaiah went into the sacred tent of the Lord and said to Joab, quote, the king orders you to come out! Exclamation mark, unquote. But Joab answered, quote, no, I will die here, unquote. So Benaiah returned to the king and told him what Joab had said. Verse 31, quote, do as he says, the king replied. Kill him there beside the altar and bury him. This will remove the guilt of his senseless murders from me and from my father's family. Verse 32, then the Lord will repay him for the murders of the two men who were more righteous and better than he. For my father was no party to the deaths of Abner son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. Verse 33, may Joab and his descendants be forever guilty of these murders, and may the Lord grant peace to David and his descendants and to his throne forever, unquote. Verse 34, so Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, returned to the sacred tent and killed Joab, and Joab was buried at his home in the wilderness. Verse 35, then the king appointed Benaiah to command the army in place of Joab, and he installed Zadok the priest to take the place of Abiathar. Verse 36, then the king sent for Shimei and told him, quote, build a house here in Jerusalem and live there, but don't step outside the city to go anywhere else. Verse 37, on the day you cross the Kidron Valley, you will surely die. Your blood will be on your own head, unquote. Verse 38, Shimei replied, quote, your sentence is fair. I will do whatever my lord the king commands. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem for a long time. Verse 39, but 3 years later, two of Shimei's slaves escaped to King Achish of Gath. When Shimei learned where they were, verse 40, he saddled his donkey and went to Gath to search for them. When he had found them, he took them back to Jerusalem. Verse 41, Solomon heard that Shimei had left Jerusalem and had gone to Gath and returned. Verse 42, so he sent for Shimei and demanded, quote, didn't I make you swear by the Lord and warn you not to go anywhere else, or you would surely die? And you replied, the sentence is fair, I will do as you say. Verse 43, then why haven't you kept your oath to the Lord and obeyed my command?
Because he thought he was just a weak son of David, and that, you know, he can get by wishy-wash. Okay, then what?
Verse 44. verse 44. The king also said to Shimei, quote, "You surely remember all the wicked things you did to my father King David. May the Lord punish you for them." Verse 45. "But may I receive the Lord's rich blessing, and may one of David's descendants always sit on this throne." Unquote. Verse 46. "Then at the king's command, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, took Shimei outside and killed him." So the kingdom was now firmly in Solomon's grip.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the second chapter of 1 Kings, the translation, 46 verses, and now we have the commentary.
2:3-4. David stressed that Solomon would need to make God and his laws the center of his personal life and government in order to preserve his life and preserve the kingdom as God had promised to do. 2 Samuel chapter 7. This promise from God had two parts. One part was conditional and dependent upon the king's actions.
Yeah, it's so long as he took the initiative. Amen?
Amen.
It's conditional. Everything is conditional with the Lord. These false prophets, like on television say, and everywhere they say, God just loves you unconditionally. There's no conditions. Just do whatever you want, and God still loves you. That's lie. Lie, lie. They just want your soul to go to hell. So then what else?
One part was conditional and dependent upon the king's action. The right. Other part was unconditional. God's conditional promise was that David and his descendants would remain in office as kings only when they honored and obeyed the Lord. When David's descendants failed to do this...
Well, that's conditional. And when they failed to do it, what?
They lost the throne. 2 Kings chapter 25.
They didn't meet the conditions, so you lose. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
God's unconditional promise was that David's line would go on forever. This was fulfilled in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, a descendant of David, who was also the eternal Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 3-4.
Right, and not only in his birth, but at this present time, he sits on the throne of the entire universe, okay, higher than all the heavens. And those of us that are in him and he's in us, we sit there with him in the spirit. Okay, then what?
David's life exemplified obedience, gave a well-seasoned advice to his son, the next king. It would be up to Solomon to follow his advice. 2:5-7.
All right, Solomon had to take the initiative to follow his advice. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Joab epitomizes those who are ruthless in accomplishing their goals. His strength was his only code, and winning the battle his only law. He wanted to get power for himself and protect it. In contrast, Barzillai stands for those who are loyal to God and live by the Lord's standards. When offered glory, for example, he unselfishly asks that it be given to his son. Is your leadership self-serving or God-serving? 2:5-9. David has some harsh advice for Solomon concerning his enemy. This advice was designated to have the young king establish and secure his throne, and it was directed only toward blatant enemies, those who oppose God by opposing God's appointed king. Legally, David was asking Solomon to give his enemies the punishment they deserved. It was against both civil law and God's law, laws for Shimei to curse a king. Exodus chapter 22, verse 28. 2:10. David died at about age 70. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4-5. See David's profile in 1 Samuel chapter 17 for more on his life. 2:15-22. This was not a case of thwarted love, although Adonijah probably hoped Bathsheba would think so. Although she was still a virgin, Abishag was considered part of David's harem. Adonijah wanted Abishag because possessing the king's harem was equivalent to claiming the throne. Absalom had done the same thing in his rebellion against David. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 20-23. Solomon well understood what Adonijah was up to, what he was trying to do. 2:26-27. As a young man, Abiathar was the only one to escape when King Saul massacred all the priests in the city of Nob, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 11 through 23. Abiathar then became the high priest under David and remained loyal to David throughout his reign. When he supported Adonijah's wrongful claim to the throne after David's death, chapter 1, verse 7, Solomon forced him to give up the priesthood, fulfilling the prophecy of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27 through 36, that Eli's descendants would not continue to serve as priests. 2, verse 31. Joab had spent his life trying to defend his position as David's commander. Twice David tried to replace him, and both times Joab treacherously killed his rivals before they could assume command. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 17 through 30, chapter 19, verse 13, chapter 20, verse 4 through 10. Because Joab was in his service, David was ultimately responsible for these senseless deaths. But for political and military reasons, see the note on 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 39, David decided not to publicly punish Joab. Instead, he put a curse on Joab and his family. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 29. Solomon, in punishing Joab, was publicly declaring that David was not part of Joab's crime, thus removing the guilt from David and placing it on Joab where it belonged. 2 verse 35. Abiathar, the high priest, and Joab, the army commander, were key men in David's kingdom. But when they conspired against Solomon, they were replaced with Zadok and Benaiah. Zadok, a descendant of Aaron, had been a prominent priest during David's reign, and he was also loyal to Solomon after David's death. He was put in charge of the Ark of the Covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. His descendants were in charge of the temple until its destruction. At one time, Benaiah was one of David's mighty men, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 20 through 23, and the captain of David's bodyguard. 2 verse 46. Solomon ordered the executions of Adonijah, Joab, and Shimei, forced Abiathar out as priest, and then appointed new men to take their places. He did these things swiftly, securing his grip on the kingdom. By executing justice and tying up loose ends that could affect the future stability of his kingdom, Solomon was promoting peace, not bloodshed. He was a man of peace in two ways. One, he did not go to war, and two, he put an end to internal rebellion.
Okay, now God is going to take the initiative to destroy all these people that are preaching peace and are doing it by Satan, out of the mouth of Satan. There's not going to be any peace in this world by listening to people that are full of blood. Besides, vengeance belongs to the Lord. We pray for the Lord to destroy these wicked people by either winning them to the Lord or else just getting rid of them in the plagues. And it will happen soon, very soon. But so that was 1 Kings chapter 2, 46 verses in the commentary. And we're going to do the fifth part of dealing with the Spirit on another tape. So meditate on these things day and night and everything you've heard on this tape. And have the initiative to do everything it says. In Jesus' name we pray. This is Tony Alamo. And until chapter 3. And God bless you. May God bless you. And praise the Lord. Bye.